Today's podcast is brought to you by Lander. Based in Montreal, Canada, Lander is the world's first intelligent drag-and-drop instant mastering service by Mixed Genius. So just for being a listener to today's podcast, we're going to give you a free trial. All you got to do is go to lander.com. That's lander.com/promo/SODD. You go there, you're going to get two free MP3s of your master. Go and check it out. A lot of people has been giving feedback and then enjoying it. And look, I appreciate you guys giving that feedback. Definitely hit us up on Twitter, hit Lander up on Twitter, and let them know that you're enjoying the service. And most importantly, Straight Out to Den sent you. So today's podcast, we're going to go into a different direction. If you guys noticed the last couple of podcasts, we're kind of theme around Drake, right? And, you know, I really like doing that. I want to try to keep these things as relevant as possible, but also make them, you know, encourage you to listen a little bit more by giving you some catchier topics. So this week, unless you're up under a rock or you don't have access to the internet, which in that case, you probably wouldn't be hearing this podcast. You heard about Kanye West. Now, Kanye West has been polarizing. You either hate him or love him, but you talked about him at some point this week. On Monday, I released an article on the site. And I was really just talking about how he changed marketing in a matter of 72 hours. And I went through that whole pretty much layout of what he did throughout the past 72 hours. And then I kind of summed it up by even going into, you know, my idea was this was like a huge commercial for Tidal. And for those that are unfamiliar with Tidal, it's a streaming service very similar to Apple Music, ran by Jay-Z and a host of other artists. Now, you guys may or may not know that at some point they were kind of not failing, but they wasn't doing as good as they had hoped to. Even though they had reached 1 million subscribers, you know, the expectations were through the roof for the app and the subscription service. And for whatever reason, things just were not going as well, right? And so Kanye West came through. He knew that he had a project that everybody wanted to hear, and he banked off of that. You know, he made it in his best interest to go ahead and do what he could to bring attention to Tidal. And lo and behold, he made Tidal the number one app in the world, well, at least on iTunes, in a matter of 72 hours, right? So we know that's genius level marketing, and you've heard me use that term quite some time on this podcast, and we're not going to go into genius level marketing today. But what I said all that to say about Kanye West, because he has a record that, which is actually one of my favorite records off of the project so far, and it's titled Real Friends, right? And so I kind of wanted to play off of that title and really talk about this Real Friends, like how to determine who is helping and who is dead weight, right? Now, of course, if you're new to the game and you're starting off, you're trying to get help in any way possible, right? Anyone that believes in your dream and your vision, you're trying to get help. Now, most of the time that help is going to come from, you know, the first couple of people, they're going to be your friends, right? They're going to be the people that's willing to help in your career. They're the most immediate people that you have access to. They're close, they're around, you know, as family and friends. But for the most part, family, you know, they will be willing to help, you know, maybe mom, dad, or, you know, a cousin or something like that. But for the most part, you know, your friends, you should be able to get some type of help from them. Now, I've heard it from several people. And, you know, just listening to conversations and you hear the frustrations coming from artists where their friends are, you know, they're their friends. So you have to try to figure out, well, how can I tell my friend that's helping me out for free that they're not doing a good job, or, you know, they're not living up to what you had hoped for them to do, right? How do you approach that friend? How do you tell them, like, hey, man, like, I love that you're helping out, but you're just not getting the job done? How do you handle that? Like, you know, what do you do before you even get to that point? And so that's what today's podcast is really going to be about, right? And when I say dead weight, I don't mean negative dead weight, like you need to get rid of them out of your circle of friends. What I mean by dead weight is you need to get rid of them out of your circle of your career, right? You have to know the difference between your friends and the people that can really be in business with you. All of your friends cannot be in business with you. And I know that you feel that, or you may think that, oh man, this is the best thing ever. I get to work hand in hand with my best friend every day. And, you know, just to be truthful with you, 9 times out of 10, it doesn't really work, right? For whatever reason, it can be an argument between you guys. It can be just a difference of how you handle business versus how they handle business. You know, you may not be on the same page, but, you know, a lot of times it doesn't work. So I'm here to really try to help you weed through that process and figure out, like, okay, is this a good candidate for my career? Can they really help me for my career? Or should I just, you know, stay in the friend zone with this person and let them, you know, support me in a different way, right? So the first thing you got to do is realize that this is your dream. This is no one else's dream. This is not your friend's dream. It is not your cousin's dream. It's not your brother or your sister or your mother or your dad. This is your dream. And so I say that to get you to really get in the mindset of, don't expect everybody to want to help you out. This is your dream. So you got to figure out what's the best way to make my dream reality, right? And so we're going to start there. This is your dream. Don't push your dream off on anybody around in your circle. You have to know that this is your plan and your vision. And when you have that mindset, then you kind of take the emotion out of everything. And that's really the goal, is to take the emotion out. Most of the time when there are arguments in a camp, it's all based off emotion. There's nothing rational about that argument. It's mainly emotion. And when you take emotion out, you're able to make some better decisions. You're not going to move off of a feeling. It's going to be more so off of calculated steps. It's going to be off of doing the research, all of those things. But you want to get the emotion out of it as soon as possible, right? More than likely, you got to know, number two, that they're going to be helping you on a limited basis, right? Your friends, the ones that you do choose to be in your circle of your career, they can't be with you 24 hours a day. Like, they have lives of their own. They either have a girlfriend or a boyfriend. You know, some of them can even be married. They might have children. They may even have a 9-to-5, but they have their own life, right? So you have to remember that going forward, that if whoever you want on your team and your circle, that your friends are in your career circle, you have to remember that they have their own lives. So you have to deal with that. They're only there until you're able to shift their career to where you can actually pay them. They're really working with you on a voluntary basis, right? So more than likely, it's going to be very limited time that you can have to work with them. Now, that limited amount of time may even be, you know, 3 days out the week. It may even be 5 days out the week and only a couple hours a day. But know that it's going to be limited time. And so what I'm really trying to do right now is shape your mind to have realistic expectations with working with your friends. Now, I repeat working with your friends, because this here is not somebody that you've hired. These are friends that's in your circle that may want to see you succeed, right? And so you got to get to a place of where you can pay them, but early on, you probably can't pay them. You've sold a dream to them. You sold your dream to them, right? And hoping that they will be able to help your dream come into fruition. But go back to number one. Remember that your dream is your dream. It's not their dream. So you have to keep those things in mind moving forward, right? So now that you know that they're going to be working on a limited basis, now you can kind of go through that weeding out process and figure out, okay, who should be in the team and who should be helping out, and, you know, where can they help? So the easiest way to determine that is to figure out, you know, what set of skills does your friend have, and what area can they really help? If you have a friend that majored in marketing and they're pretty good in marketing, then that may be somebody you want to have on the team to help you market yourself to a larger audience. If you have somebody that was in the PR, then they may can help with the PR side of things. If you have somebody that's a producer, then they can help with the production side of things. If you have somebody that's very detail oriented and very organized, and they know their way around a studio or things of that nature, then you might want to look at that person as being a tour manager or a manager of some sort. The main thing that I'm trying to really drill home right now is, you got to figure out the skills of your friends that are around you. Find out, can they really help? Not that, you know, you have somebody that's so eager to help and like, oh man, I want to do whatever I need you to do. Well, hey, let me find out, what is it that you feel that you can bring to the table? What is it do you feel that you can do more effectively than anybody else? Now, if that person is kind of giving you, man, I really don't know, I just want to help. Now, I'm not saying don't have that person around. They can really help you. And there may be some things that they can do way better than everybody else, but for somebody that can't really express what type of help they can provide for you, but they just want to help, I probably wouldn't have that person, you know, handling my books or handling, you know, my tour schedule or handling my booking or handling things like that, because those are more detailed things. And if that person is really not good at that, or if they don't really know if that's something that they want to do, then you might not want to give them that task. And then it's only going to lead to you getting mad at them because they're not organized and you're missing tour dates and you're missing all of these other things. So that person may be great to help as a personal assistant, somebody that can, you know, help you with point A to point B, or somebody that's passing out flyers or something like that. You know, a task that not necessarily, it doesn't take a lot of skill, but it's a much needed job, and it's something that has to be done. That may be a better area for them as opposed to them handling your finances, and they don't know, you know, they don't have a history of dealing with finances. They're not a CPA or accountant or anything of that nature. So, you know, that's something really to think on before moving forward. Figure out who in your circle of friends can do what and where would they be great at. And once you have that information, now you're weeding out that list. So if you have like five friends around you, you determine that, okay, out of these five, three of these guys or girls can really help out in my career, right? So now you're looking at those three, you figure out what can those three really do. Now, the other two people that you left over there, you know, as long as you've had that conversation with them and say like, hey, you guys, I appreciate everything that you're doing. I just know that this here may not be the best for us. I know that we're better as friends, and in the business part, I don't want that to mess up our friendship. So let's be, you know, friends. Come in the studio. You can be, you know, be supportive and hear the music and be a friend. That's fine. But when it comes to the business side, hey, I'm just going to stay over here. I don't want to mess up our friendship with business. And if you clearly articulate that to that person and you be straightforward with them, they'll get it. They'll understand. They're more than likely feel the same way. They don't want to mess up the friendship over trying to get in some business stuff with the music, because what you really will find out is that they really don't care about that. They just want to see you succeed, and they want to be able to tell other people like, hey, this is my homeboy or my homegirl, and we've been riding since fourth grade, and I knew him before all this other stuff, and I remember when he made the first record. They want to be the braggadocious friends and go and tell people about you, and you need those people in your circle. So that's cool. That's great. All right. So after you determine the skills that people have, now it's time to lay out a plan. And once you lay out that plan, I typically say, lay out, you want to start with at least a 3 to 6 month plan. And that is something to where it's not too much for somebody that's new to the game and you know, maybe new to helping you, but at the same time, it is laying a solid foundation down. So they know like, okay, you're really going to need my time for this amount of time. And this is what you expect from me during that time. And that really leads me to the next thing: lay out a plan and also lay out expectations. If you have somebody that's working with you, your friend, your circle of friends, and you're telling them like, hey, we're going to meet every Monday at 9 p.m. Those are my expectations. I have to meet at 9 p.m. So let me know now if that's going to be a problem. If that's a problem and we can't meet at 9 a.m., but you can say like, hey, man, 9 p.m., but hey, 8 p.m. works better. Let's agree upon that time and let's do it. But you want those expectations to be up front, because you don't want people to kind of, you know, all willy-nilly showing up at 10 and the meeting was at 9 and you guys are done. And now it's just going to cause tension and within that circle. So lay out those expectations and tell people like, hey, this is what I want you to do. This is my career. And I appreciate you helping me, but this is the ground rules. This is what we need to get done. And I tell you, if you go ahead and do that early on, like this here is within the first, you know, couple of weeks, of figuring out things, if you go ahead and lay that foundation early, then it's not one of those things that come up as a shocker, you know, 6 months to a year down the line when all of a sudden people feel like you changed. You know, you didn't change. You didn't verbalize those expectations. And now what you had in your head, you're expecting other people to play out without telling them. And now they're looking at you crazy. So, you know, you make sure you lay out that plan and put those expectations in place. And really, if you want to take it a step further, put those expectations in writing and you know, tell them like, hey, man, I want you to be a part of the team. This is what I expect. Like, hey, and it doesn't have to be anything, you know, crazy 10-page document or anything like that, but hey, write up a one pager and tell them like, hey, this is what I want from our team, man. This is where I really want, I see us going, and you know, I just want you to sign this like you're committing to what we're building right here, you know. And if you can get them to do that, then number one, it's going to show that hey, they're serious about what your vision is, and if they're serious about it, then now you guys can really move and get some traction going and really build something solid, right? So the next thing is, that's that commitment that I told you about. You got to ask for that commitment. Is this really what you guys want? Is this really what, you know, you want to help build? And that commitment, like I said, that's a contract. You know, it really is, whether that's verbal or on a handshake or a signed paper. You know, it's really a commitment and a contract of what you guys want to do. And it just really, it sets you up with a solid foundation where you can really build upon that. You know, ask for that commitment. And if it's something that they can't agree with, rather than trying to keep them in the loop on business, just say like, hey, man, these are my expectations. If you can't fulfill these, then hey, let's just play the friend role. We don't have to really go into the business stuff, because I, you know, once again, I don't want us to have to, you know, go back and forth over this stuff and have headaches and arguments and things of that nature. And it's really not, you know, it's not that necessary. I can find somebody else to do it. I'd rather us just, you know, be friends then get into this business here. And you know, you got to know that stuff, you're probably, if you're dealing with friends, you're probably going to have a high turnover rate. You're probably going to deal with a situation where they get burned out. Once again, this is your dream. So nobody's going to work harder than what you will, hopefully. And if you have somebody working harder than you, then that's somebody you really want to keep around, because they clearly see the vision and know exactly what you have going, and they really want to be a part of that. So, you know, but just know that support and that friendship, that bond is what's really going to determine, you know, how far you can go in your career. Now, one of the last things that you really need to make sure that you do is reevaluate every 6 months, right? So that's 2 times a year that you should be evaluating your team and your circle of friends, your career friends, you know, your circle of career friends. I say reevaluate every 6 months because you need time to breathe, right? You're not going to know that first go around, there are going to be a lot of bumps in the road. Somebody's going to do something wrong. You might do something wrong. You know, there's going to be a couple of things that just don't get done correctly that first time around. And that's why you reevaluate. You know, if you have a 5-person team and, you know, 5 of those people are just so happen to be your friends, in 6 months, reevaluate. Is everyone doing their job? You know, are things being done effectively? Maybe that one person that you thought was going to be great as a tour manager may work better as a business manager, or they may work better as somebody as a personal assistant. You know, you got to figure out how to really navigate that, and don't be afraid to speak up. You got to tell people exactly how it is. Like, once again, this is your career and your dream. So if you're not going to speak up, how do you expect somebody else to speak up about it? So you got to give those expectations exactly where they are and meet people where they are. If they're not ready to move to that next level with you as far as in your career, then you got to know that and tell them like, hey, let's just agree to this is not going to work, right? And that happens at that reevaluating after 6 months. And you really got to go through this with a fine tooth comb, you know, go through everything and say like, okay, is the tour scheduling, is that working? You know, new music being put out, is that working? PR, is that working? Are we getting our stuff out to the appropriate blogs, or, you know, are we getting in front of you know, the right traffic? Are we getting interviews, things of that nature? Are these things really working for us? And if you feel that they're not, then just, hey, tell them like, okay, either we can make changes and reevaluate after 6 months, or we can keep going as is and, you know, do another 6 months. And if it doesn't work, then, hey, maybe this might not be the best place for you on the team. Let's reevaluate and see where else we can put you on the team. Or just say like, hey, this is not going to work. I might need somebody else who, you know, can help me out a little bit further. Right. All of those things are very helpful and, you know, can really help move you further along in your career. I want to kind of reference something that, I have a show called The Good Hennessy Show that I do with my co-host Jimmy Hennessy. We're on Monday nights on LifeHipHopDaily.tv at 7 p.m. But our show is basically, we sit down, we have good conversations, we catch up, talk about current events, what's going on from the past week, and we have different guests that come on. Some are independent artists, some are established artists, and every now and then we'll have somebody from the industry that kind of comes on and give us some good insight about things. And we had a guest, Tamiko Hope. She is a publicist here in Atlanta. She's worked with a host of artists from Outkast to Goody Mob, Usher, a lot of different artists. She's currently working with an artist by the name of Nick Grant. He's from South Carolina. He's a rapper, and he just released a project called 88, a very dope project. I do suggest you guys take a listen to it. It has a good vibe of the old and new, and he's a rapper. Like, he's really rapping about something. It's not just like a bunch of nonsense. It's really talking about something. He has a message, right? But during our conversation, she brought up something talking about in the world of PR, and she really just said, like, you know what, a lot of times artists are in a hurry to get PR. You know, people try to rush and do so much stuff and go and spend all of this money, and they don't really prep themselves for it. So it's kind of like you go out and you spend all this money on other things, right? And you blow that budget wide, you know, you go crazy and get all this unnecessary stuff. And then when it's time to go out and actually get a PR, you can't afford them, right? Most PRs, they do charge quite a few pennies. And most of them, if you find a good one, their work is worth it, you know. But what happens is artists tend to spend money in the wrong places. And then when it's time to have that next level push, then it's too late. They ran out of money, right? And so here's the thing that she suggested, and what we kind of both came up with on the spot, was that, you know, you got to do as much as you can on your own before going out trying to seek help. And a lot of the stuff that you can do on your own is forming, you know, the right team in place. And like I say, if your friends are going to be that right team, then you got to know how to weed out the good from the bad. Right. And so the stuff that we talked about here, hopefully that'll help you. And we're definitely going to recap. But before I do that, I want to get to one of the last points that you want to do after reevaluating every 6 months. You got to determine whether or not this is the team that you want to live and die with. Right. And what I mean by live and die with, I mean your career. Do you want your career to live and die with it? You got to really look at your team and say, like, okay, this is the team. We've been reevaluating it, and, you know, a year's went by and this is where we're at. You got to really sit down and think about what you want to do moving forward. Is this really the team that's going to work? You got to think about it, because the next thing that you do after that 1 year, the next year is going to be pivotal to your career. You can either end up being stagnant and staying in the same place. You can even drop because, you know, your team is not working for you or moving in the right way, or you can rise. But that after that first year, everything after that is going to be pivotal, man. Like, you got to know, is this the team that I really need for my career? Now, me personally, my team, I did a lot of stuff on my own early on, right? And we're talking about in the world of media. I'm not talking about production or anything like that. I'm strictly talking about media. Media started for me in 2012. And so I did a lot of things on my own, really up until about maybe 2015. So I did like 2 to 3 years of just me grinding it out on my own. Now, throughout that time, I had people that wanted to write for the site. I have contributors to the site up until this day. I still have a decent number of contributors to the site, and they come in and they'll write from time to time. But for the most part, when it came to this media stuff, it's curating the content for this podcast and curating content for the Good Hennessy Show, and even doing the live shows that I do here in the city. A lot of that was just, you know, me on my own. And I'm not saying that to say or be braggadocious or anything like that, but a lot of it was a lot of formulating a plan and working that plan out. My early goals were, when I wrote them down in 2011, 2012, I was saying, like, I want to push this thing as far out as I can on my own. And the reason why I said that is because there was no need for me to go out and try to get a team in place before I can do everything before I had the knowledge that I could do everything on my own. I couldn't have a team in place if I couldn't tell them what I needed for them to do and trust that they'll be able to get that job done. So my goal was to learn the ins and the outs of the business, learn how to record properly, learn how to get the content and structure the content in a way that you guys will be able to receive it. You know, this stuff, sometimes it may seem like I'm rambling off the head, but true enough, I have notes. You can hear the paper right here. I have notes. I write down the notes and I make sure that I have an outline ready for you guys whenever I do a podcast. It goes from the title at the top, and I have my points that I want to talk about the whole time, right? All the way from the introduction down to the conclusion of what I want to do. All of that stuff is, you know, formulated, and it may sound kind of like, you know, a bunch of confusion afterwards and random thoughts, but it's really, you know, a method to this madness. You know, I wrote down all of these things, and the reason why I'm saying that and giving you this information is because you got to make sure that your team that you have is the team that you want. You know, you got to make sure that you're ready to have a team. At the time, I wasn't ready to have a team. I would have had a bunch of people that was willing to help, and I didn't know what to tell them to do. It just would have been, they would have been looking at me like, okay, what you want me to write? Okay, I can write for the site. But outside of that, it wouldn't have been a lot for them to do. So now I've learned how to manage not only myself and the time, but I can manage other people. So now I have interns that can go out and cover an event when I can't be there. You know, I have writers that, hey, if I want to take a vacation or if there's something that I just can't write about, I can let them go ahead and do all of that. You know what I'm saying? So it's those types of things that it took a learning curve and learning how to really properly do this business before I can go out and tell even this, before I can tell you guys how to do things, I had to learn them myself. I'm not one of those guys that's going to give you information that I don't know. I'm either going to A, do the research, or is it going to be something that I personally lived through or somebody that's close to me have lived through. I'm never going to give you any information that didn't come from one of those three sources. It's just that simple. Either I researched it, I lived it, or somebody close to me lived it. And it's just that simple. And the reason why I do that is because if I can give you the content that way, then it's authentic. It'll come off real to you guys, and you will understand it better, and it'll be more personal because I can say it with conviction. I can say it with authority. I can say it like I mean it because it's something that I truly know. You know, I say all that to say, like, it is baby steps to all of this stuff, right? None of these things that I'm telling you week by week is going to come to you easy. Some of it's going to take some training. Some of it's going to take some rinse and repeat. Some of it's going to take some failing. You're going to try a lot of these things and they're not going to work. And you're going to question yourself. It's like, and you're going to question me like, hey, is Jay Good really giving me good information? And I promise you, it is good information, but it takes time. None of this stuff is going to come overnight. I guarantee it. You know, even the weeding out your friends and determining which ones can help and which ones are dead weight, that's going to be a process that may take a while. Like right now, we've been talking for about 30 minutes, and it may seem like it's so easy until you have to really do it, until you have to get in there and tell, you know, two of your closest friends that, like, hey, I love for you to help, but I know that this is not going to work. I know your work ethic. And I know, you know, and this is me telling you as a friend, I know your work ethic and the amount of work that is going to require for us to really make this work. I know that you're not ready to do that. And instead of us going down that path and bumping heads, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, I'd rather just, like, hey, let's keep it as friends, and you can come in and hang out in the studio or whatever. Let's keep a friendship solid rather than come in and try to do business and the business not going to work out. And now we end up going our separate ways. And yeah, I know it's kind of like you're trying to always think glass full mentality, optimistic. I get that. But there is a piece of being realistic also, right? If you know that you are the type of person that's going to be nitpicky about small things, then you might not need to have that friend that's going to mess up those small things. It's just kind of like a common sense thing, but you got to really think about it, right? So just to recap, with determining who is helping and who is dead weight, you know, your real friends, know that, hey, they're going to be the first people around to help your career. You know that. But first, you got to realize that this is your dream and not their dream. You can't expect for them to do everything that you want them to do. It's just not going to happen. You know, you got to remember that and know that, hey, they're only going to be helping you on a limited basis for the most part. Now, you may have somebody that one of your friends that are going to be there for the long haul. But for the most part, they're helping you on a limited basis. They can only give you so many hours in a day. They can only be there so many days in a week. You know, remember that that's special. And you have to know that that's not going to be, you know, the end all be all, like, but know where they are and appreciate that time as well. Determine once you have that circle, determine which friends have that certain skill and where that they can help. You know, don't put somebody in a place that they can't help out. You know, keep them in the right place. Like, hey, this is what you're good at. Stay here. This is where I need you at. If you're good here, I need you over there. Right. Keep them in that certain space. Make sure that you lay out a plan and a foundation. And also give them your expectations. Let them know exactly what you want to happen. This is where I need you at. This is, you know, this is where I want this business to go. This is truly a business. This is where I need you to be. And ask for that commitment. If you got to get it in writing, handshake, or write up a contract, do what you need to do to get that commitment. And if they can't do that, like, hey, it's cool. Let's just be friends. No worry about the business. No love lost. Like, you're still my dog. Like, we can still make a great friendship. It's just not going to work business-wise. Make sure you reevaluate every 6 months. Look at everything, strip it down, make sure it works good. If it doesn't work, then hey, rearrange, reevaluate, move people around, let some people go off the team, whatever you have to do, but reevaluate every 6 months. And most importantly, you got to realize whether or not this is the team that you want to have moving forward. After that first year is over with, I'm telling you, you're either going to go up, you're going to go down, or you're going to be stagnant. And you want to make sure that you're on the upward turn. And so if you're not on that upward turn, then you got to figure out, what do I need to do? I need to change now. Don't wait 5 years and try to make changes. Get those changes done now. And so you'll be able to move forward. So that's it for this week. I know it's, you know, only 30 minutes, 32 minutes to be exact. So I want to keep this one short, sweet, and simple. Like I said before, you guys, make sure if you're listening to this podcast on iTunes, please, please subscribe, rate, and review. I can't stress that enough. I know I have a lot of people listening in. I still need you guys, even if you've been listening for a year, please, I need you to go and rate and review the podcast. Other people need to know about this podcast. And the only way that we can do that is that you guys leave comments, review it, and let people know what you think. So if you've listened, if this is your second or third time listening, I'll do it like this. If this is your second or third time listening, if you listen to this podcast more than two times, please review it. If you haven't subscribed, please subscribe, review it, and comment. And I'll definitely make sure I read your comments out here on the podcast. I want to make sure that I'm giving you the proper shout out, but I do need you guys to do that. We are up on everything that a podcast can be on. We're on SoundCloud. We're on Stitcher. TuneIn. We're waiting on Google Play. I don't know what's going on with Google Play. We have subscribed. They have everything that they need. We're just waiting on them to push the button on their whole podcast store. But once that happens, we will be there. And I know a lot of you guys have asked about that. That's the hold up on that. So it's nothing that we have to do on our end. We've already applied. We've been accepted. We're just waiting on them to simply push the button and go from there. Outside of that, though, you know, everything here is well here. We're going to keep continuing to give you guys that content. We're going to bring it to you as much as possible. But I like I said before, please subscribe, rate, and review. I really need you guys to do that. And if you like what you hear here, tell a friend, okay? Move it on, you know, share it. We need that. We need your help. I'm not going to sit here and act like we have everything together. We need your help. So please do that for me if that's, you know, the last thing there. Make sure you remember our sponsor, Lander. You can go to lander.com, LANDR.com/promo/SODD. Get that free trial. It's 2 free MP3s of your master. Make sure you get your music mastered, people. It is so important part of the process. Don't sleep on that. You can get it mixed. That's great, but make sure you get it mastered as well. So that's it. No questions for this week. We'll continue with those questions next week. But look, like I always say, if you have a dream, pray on that dream, research that dream, and work until that dream becomes a reality. And with that being said, I'm Jay Gutter, straight out the den. We out. See you next week.
This is an Indie Creative Network production.